You're welcome in, everybody. Jaguars today. Brian Sexton's been doing his best all summer to keep you guys fired up while we're in the dead zone here with the classic Jaguar highlights, Tony. That may be my favorite one right there. Tony put all these together.
That's a good one.
By the way, that's a nice little compilation right there that takes you back in the day. Jaguars today, Tony. Enjoy me for the next 2 hours.
Yep.
As much as you can. I don't think that's the word you probably would have used. Enjoy. Tolerate, perhaps. Put up with.
What was the nickname someone wanted to give you yesterday?
Smartass.
Smartass.
Just smartass. I mean, that's really a pretty descriptive term for me. It's not Mike Smartass Dempsey doesn't roll off the tongue, although to some, it probably does.
I don't think they need to include the name.
Richard Cranium is still the leader in the clubhouse. Oh, so many months and, I don't know, probably a couple of years later at this point in time. Vacation beckons for me, Tony, but because I am saddened by the fact that I won't be here with you tomorrow.
Right.
When the senior writer, John Osier, sits in with you and hosts Jaguars Today, co-hosts Jaguars Today, I've decided to do a makeup show and host Jaguars Thursday tonight with Jeff Loggeman, because I wanted to get my 5 shows in before I hit the vacation trail. And if you believe that, then
I got a piece of land I want to talk to you about.
There's all kinds of property that I've got on sale. Now, Tony, I told you yesterday my brush with Twitter infamy, greatness. I don't know if it's greatness. Silk the Shocker followed me on Twitter yesterday. So I posed the question to Fortunato. Guess who followed me on Twitter after Silk the Shocker did? All right? And Fortunato, I mean, just cold. He walks in the room. I said, guess who followed me on Twitter now? He goes, Flo Rida? So, good guess, but not accurate. I've already told you who it is. Let's go to the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks back at 1010XL World Headquarters at 9090 Hogan Road. Good morning, Lauren. I say, good morning, Lauren. Let's check
good
back.
Good morning.
There she is. Did you hear my question? Somebody more famous than Silk the Shocker is now following me on Twitter.
Who could it be?
I'm going to let you guess. Who do you think it was? It's someone who's he's a famous person who I mentioned their latest project on the air this week, but I can't imagine that he has any idea, and I'm sure it's some, PR flunky that runs his Twitter account, so I'm sure he has no idea necessarily about me.
I don't know. I was looking at it. I don't know how he found you.
I don't know how he found me.
But he runs his own account.
Okay.
Is it John Osier?
It is not. That's a good guess. Fortunato with Flo Rida. I did mention Osier's work this week, which is featured at Jaguars.com on a daily basis with the Ozone, by the way.
And he has his own PR firm.
What's my new show on TV, Lauren?
The Bridge?
That's
Murder
a good
first.
One. Murder in the First.
Murder in the First.
Tay Diggs followed me yesterday.
No way.
What's he doing following me on Twitter? I don't understand. I mean, is Jaguars Today that powerful, Tony? Is Tay Diggs a closet Jaguar fan? That's what I want to know. I'll get him a t-shirt. Give me your address.
I know.
Send us your
weird
physical mailing address, Tay.
This has been a weird
we
week.
We won't show up on your front
we
doorstep.
We got Silk. We got Tay Diggs following you now. We had Josh Scobie that was obviously just listening to the program 2 days
Scobie.
Ago. That was
awesome. Well, Scobie now thinks he's on the stratosphere of celebrities with Silk the Shocker. or did Silk just reach Scobie level of fame and popularity? That's
by the way,
tough to determine.
I did try to get some Silk the Shocker music for us, but it's not going to
not ready ready
it's
for airplay.
It's not radio friendly.
Can we get
Silk
on the program, maybe?
We'll effort. We're efforting for that.
All right, we're efforting. Get him on next week. You got a lot of time.
But you won't be here. We can't have Silk the Shocker without you as biggest fan.
I don't know if Silk the Shocker in person is radio friendly.
probably not, but we got a dump button. At least we'll catch
no,
the
No, this
first
isn't
one.
XM. You can't say whatever you want.
Good point. Although, next week, Tony plans to have Silk the Shocker and Reggie Jackson on while I'm gone.
I thought it was Steven Jackson.
Well, maybe Steven as well, but I was thinking Reggie, because he's my childhood hero. I figured that would be the week to finally get him on. Is while I'm on
I
vacation.
Thought maybe, wasn't there a Reggie Jackson in the NBA who had a rap album?
There is. I keep hearing that Reggie Jackson. I'm like, how do you not go by Reg?
I thought we
Reginald
were doing rappers. I was
something.
Like, did Reggie have an album?
Did he have an album?
I don't know.
I know. I'm thinking of people that would have a connection to me that you would have on. Like, Silk the Shocker doesn't really have a connection with me. Is he where is he based out of? Do we know where Silk the Shocker is?
I have no idea.
He's not some, first coast connection or something like that.
No idea.
Well, I mean, you know, the First Coast does produce a lot of rappers.
Well, I'm saying, I don't know. I'm just saying there's some eerie connection. Maybe there are a lot of closet Jaguar fans in the entertainment industry.
Could maybe be. They're not closet Jaguar fans.
Well, maybe that's right. Maybe we're helping bring them out of the closet right now, so to speak. As far as their Jaguar fandom does.
Changing lives one day at a time.
He was kissing Claire from 90210 this week. That's all I know. Or maybe it was last week. So nevertheless, Tony, today, we continue a look at the AFC North. We'll talk with Brad Johansson, who's a longtime voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Matter of fact, that'll come up in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. And we'll get into their offseason, and you'll wrap things up tomorrow with a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we've got that going on. We've also got a couple of interesting stories out there to take a look at. One, the NFL Network, you heard Jeff alluding to Peyton Manning being voted as the number one player in the National Football League. The top 10 was revealed. They've been doing 10 a week.
Yep.
Unveiling the top 100 players in the NFL. Six of the top 10 are Jacksonville Jaguars. No, I'm kidding. I was just seeing if you were awake out there and paying attention.
Did PFT do a list this year? I know you participated in one last year.
Well, if they did one, I was not invited back, which certainly is a possibility. they did one, and they're like, wow, that was a really poor list you submitted last year, in which 16 Jacksonville Jaguars made the top 50. But nevertheless, I'm not aware of them doing one this year. So
I haven't seen anything.
So the top 10 is out. We'll take a look at the top 10 a little bit later on. And I found something jumped out at me, and I won't tell you what it was. And when we go through the top 10 a little bit later on, I'll see if the same thing jumps out at you about the top 10.
I haven't seen the list.
Okay.
I heard you say the top three. So I know who the top three are, but I haven't seen the 10.
Well, I'll wait, and we'll count down the 10. Through one. I mean, if you follow the countdown, you can figure out. You know who the top players are, and it's just a matter of have they been named yet or not. So it's not like a quiz or anything like that. There's something when you look at the 10 names, side by side by side by side by, you got it. Something just jumped out at me, and I'll see if the same thing struck you. Also, Todd McShay talked about redshirt rookies, so to speak, players who were draft picks last year, such as Luke Joeckel. In fact, he headlines his latest article. And for whatever combination of reasons, injury, veterans, older veterans playing in front of them, didn't have much of an opportunity to shine on the field last year. Who are his top candidates? You know, the forgotten guys. We see this in fantasy drafts all the time, don't we? People love the new toy, and they love the new rookie, and they want to grab Sammy Watkins. And meanwhile, DeAndre Hopkins is like, hey, look at my role in the Houston offense right now. It's going to be quite large.
Sure.
And people, but you know what? He's not this year's model. And it's like, you know, when you buy a car, you drive it off the lot, it depreciates. I forget what the percentage is the second you drive it off the lot. It's like once you step in the National Football League, you're no longer as sexy as the guy who's just about to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll get into some of the second year players who may have been forgotten a little bit. And yesterday, one of the things we had you calling in on yesterday was Pro Football Talk's ranking, their power poll, which had the Jags at 29, ahead of Oakland, Miami, and the Tennessee Titans. They since released a couple more, but the Jags are in at 29. I think the Bills were 28. The Bucks, I want to say, were 26. I'm forgetting who was 27 at the moment, but not that big a deal. So today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, asking Jaguar fans daily what drives you. Today they ask you, how do you feel about that 29th spot in the ranking? Understanding that it's meaningless. You know, the power poll situation in the NFL is just for conversation's sake. But when you compare your team's roster to others around the National Football League, or when you think of your team, maybe you don't, I don't know. Does everyone not do roster comparisons like we do, Tony?
I guess not. On our free time? I don't know.
What do you think about the number 29 ranking? Does it sound about right? Is that, you know, have they earned nothing more than that based on their recent track record of winning six games over the last 2 years? Do you think they have a chance to be considerably higher before the season's done? And if you read the analysis that Pro Football Talk did, and we didn't really have a chance to get into it that much yesterday, we'll touch on it a little bit today. They indicated this is a ranking that has a chance to really shoot up depending on how the season goes, particularly expecting a lot on the defensive side of the football this year. So we'll get into that. Your reaction to that, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and throw one at Tay Diggs as well, and welcome him to the Jaguars Today family. That's just simply at Tay Diggs, TayeDiggs. And so tweet us in any of those varieties, Facebook.com/Jaguars Today as well. And we'll remind you today, really today, for all intents and purposes, the final day to get into the Foundation Professionals of Florida Patriotic Jaguar photo contest for this week. Each week, Foundation Professionals of Florida is doing the photo contest. You can post one on Twitter, tweet it to any of our Twitter handles. You can post it on the dedicated thread that we have to it on Facebook as well. And one photo will be selected every week. And not only we become a finalist, you go into a drawing for a pair of tickets to the home opener, Jags and the Colts. We'll print out your picture. We'll hang it in the new Jaguars Today studios down here, presented by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. And it will be a living piece of history within the very walls of Everbank Field, Tony. That right there, my friend, is priceless. Somebody reached out to me on Facebook this morning, Pete Nippon, said he's been, and I recognize the name because he tries to win T-shirts all the time from us. He's a dedicated listener, he's a dedicated poster. He goes, man, I keep getting shot down. And he goes, I've made some B-52 bomber, or B-2 bomber mm-hmm. shirts. I'm assuming for Bortles.
I would assume so, yeah.
We did the whole nickname thing. He said, can I trade one for a Jaguars Today T-shirt? And honestly, I mean, I'll give you a Jaguars Today T-shirt because he is a dedicated guy, but I'll take the B-2 bomber. We'll hang that bad boy up in the studio. Let's start decorating this thing like an updated man cave.
That's right.
We came in here and had a clean house, Tony. They still had a picture of Eugene Monroe on the wall.
I know they did. I got to figure out what's in this this bin over here.
Should we go in the cabinet? Today we're going to save that. We're
literally
on
skeletons in that closet, I have a feeling.
There's a big metal stand. I don't know. What do you call that? Some kind of metal cabinet that we're curious as to what's inside. And I'm not even sure Fortunato knows.
Nope.
But
I asked him what was in there. He's like, stuff.
Stuff.
It was,
that means he either doesn't know or he doesn't want to tell.
He was avoiding whatever is actually in there.
I wonder if is there a lock on there? It looks like has the ability to be locked. I'm wondering if that is locked up. I guess I could slide my chair over there and test it. But it's becoming a mystery at this point. We'll save that for a later date. How about that? Brad Johansson coming up talking Cincinnati Bengal football. We'll get into some of those other stories that we mentioned as well along the way. If you want to get in, phone lines will be open to you at about 35 after the hour and about 25 minutes from now at 641-1010. Tweet the program, post on the Facebook page, get it all going. Use the hashtag Jaguars Today in all your postings, please. Live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you. Jaguars Today continuing on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Tony, first crack at the theme today. You got any guess? Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. What's in the news? Any Fat Bottom Girls in the news?
I haven't seen anything.
Warren just like half snorted in my ear.
Girls? So Johnny funny. Manziel was at Fenway with four ladies.
Yeah, they were definitely not Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, I doubt.
It was they looked like models.
They had a fat bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Y'all are going to have to keep guessing. Yep.
Could be Queen. Could be something with Queen. I don't know. Fortunato's wagging a finger over there. I'm not sure what that whole thing is about.
After today, Fat Tony takes over.
Is that anything to do with Fat Tony?
It is not, but good guess, Joe.
Okay.
Poor Brad's like, what is going on?
Brad Johansson, of course.
Calling me a queen. I don't appreciate it.
Excuse me. Sports director at WKRC, Local 12, CBS Sports Network in Cincinnati, and the longtime once voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Still does their preseason games. Brad joins us now on Jaguars Today. What's up, Brad? How you doing, buddy?
I'm in love with Fat Bottom Girls.
Who isn't? I mean, seriously, who isn't? You know, if you have the right shaped bottom, you can become an Instagram sensation. So the kids tell me, anyway.
Fair enough.
Not sure how that whole thing goes. How's the off season going? Is it all quiet on the Bengal front right now? Are they do they feel like they're continuing to add to a playoff caliber team and things are headed in the right direction?
I mean, doesn't every team say that in the off season? Yeah,
they may say it, but they don't all probably believe it.
I think I really think that this team feels and rightfully so like they have added. You got to give it to Marvin Lewis, his staff, to Duke Coben, up top in the personnel department on what this team has done in the draft the last 5 years. And I think they did it again this year. So yeah, I would say off season, they feel like they have added to a team that's gone to the playoffs the last 3 years, and playoffs usually rest on a quarterback. Andy Dalton, as we know, hasn't been very good in the playoffs in the 3 years, but I think this, you know, I think a lot of Bengals fans are crossing their fingers that maybe this is the year that they finally are able to get there and win a playoff game.
Do you like the approach they're taking with Andy Dalton, not giving him the long-term contract, despite the fact that this is a Cincinnati organization that didn't have a lot of success? You know, they've had a couple good years in the last decade, but they've been to the playoffs the last 3 years under Andy Dalton. They don't give him the long-term contract. Do you like that strategy from the team? And if he wins a playoff game this year, is it that simple? If he wins a playoff game, he's going to get the contract?
I don't really think it's necessarily a strategy. I just think it's the way negotiations go these days. They have been in negotiations. Andy has said there have been offers floated back and forth. So it's not like they're not talking. It's not like the strategy is let's wait till the end of the year. I think the talk is, what is it going to be worth? I mean, when you're talking about $18 million a year for a guy who hasn't won a playoff game, because that's kind of the bubble that he's in with the way quarterbacks are getting paid right now, it's a lot of money. And you're dealing with guys that you've got to keep on as well and try and figure out how to deal with that. If you ask me, I'm okay if you wait till the end of the year and you try and figure something out, but that may just be part of the negotiation. Is he pulling a Flacco to wait and see if you can get to a Super Bowl and then get your big deal? Possibly. I don't know whether he's waiting. I think the negotiations are ongoing. Question is, are they going to arrive at the right number for both to be happy before the season starts?
Brad, clearly the most important player in that franchise is A.J. Green. NFL Network named him as one of the 10 best players in the National Football League. If he gave you complete honesty, what is your guess? If you went to A.J. Green and you said, is this the guy? Is Andy Dalton the guy? Does A.J. Green believe in his quarterback to that degree?
I think you're asking if I went to him in private and we did behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm saying if you just, you know, strapped into a lie detector test, what does your gut tell you? I'm not asking you to divulge any confidences, but what does your gut tell you? You know, is he just a good team player and he'll go along with whatever the organization decides?
I'll probably go with the latter, because in every single dealing I've ever had with AJ, and I'm going to sit down and do a one-on-one with him next week, as a matter of fact, because he has his camp. He has never broken company line, ever. At any time that I've ever sat down to speak with him, he's as non-diva-like as a wide receiver gets, and he simply wants to do what he's supposed to do to make his team better. So if you say, here's your quarterback, he'll say, great, I'll try and make him better, and I'll try and do as best as I can. So this is a guy that toes the company line all the time. He loves who he's playing with. He's always built Andy up. At any time when Andy's gotten flack, he said, I think he's getting too much blame. Most of it's my fault. If we're not hooking up, it's probably my fault. When somebody rips the offensive coordinator, no, I don't think it's the play calling. I think it's my fault. So it would have to be a moment that I haven't seen from A.J. Green for him to say we need a new quarterback than the guy that I've seen, because he toes the company line all the time.
Looking at the offensive backfield and the running back position, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis kind of being pushed to the background a little bit. They draft Jeremy Hill in the second round. How much of a split do you think there's going to be between Hill and Bernard?
I'm not sure we're going to get a chance to see it until the season starts. I think you're going to see Gio Bernard split out as a receiver a ton. I think this is going to be that hurry up college offense that we've seen so much. Spread them out, motion everybody, try and figure out a way to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, and you'll see all vanilla through the preseason. But everything that I've heard and watched in preparation for this is that anybody who can do something on the field with football is going to get the football, and we're going to try it in a lot of different veins. I think this may be, the time that they don't bring Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to the roster by the time we get there, because they've learned that they've got other stuff and can deal with other stuff and can use that roster spot for somebody else if Jeremy Hill works out.
Brad Johansson with us talking Cincinnati Bengal football. Brad, Geno Atkins lost for almost the entirety of the year last year with the torn ACL. Is he on pace to start the season healthy?
Yeah, he's on pace to be ready to go at training camp. And Geno's a freak in the weight room. He's a gym rat. He's one of those guys that loves to work out. So if there's anybody who is going to push himself to be ready, this is the guy that will do that. And, you know, they've got a ton of help on the defensive line. They had guys that stepped in for Geno, although you can't replace a guy like that. But, yeah, I would anticipate he's going to be ready to go, and I think they're going to have everybody up and ready to go. You know, Leon Hall tore his other Achilles, and he, in OTAs, unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish and get ready, and he'll be ready for first day training camp as well.
How much of an effect did losing Atkins have, especially on that front four for the Bengals? 2 years ago, this is a team that led the National Football League in sacks. Last year, they struggled in that area a little bit. Was it as simple as they lost Atkins and that presence in the middle to push the line?
I think if you're going to simplify it, I think that's as simple as it gets. He's unblockable. You talk to everybody on offensive line who has to go against him every day, and you will hear that from every single man. The guy's unblockable. And you put two people on him, and he's still difficult to block. And so I think that changes the production. And, you know, obviously the guys that get the sack get all the accolades, but the guys that take people away from the guys that get the sack rarely get noticed. Geno Atkins gets noticed by just about everybody because of what he does. And I think having him back will change that defensive line.
Brad, you mentioned the offensive line or offensive lineman. Andre Smith went in the same draft as Eugene Monroe did when he came here to Jacksonville. The Jags moved on from him mid-season, trading him to Baltimore. Didn't really fit, I guess, their vision for what their line was going to be. And we talked with somebody with the Ravens yesterday. They said he's been fantastic. How has Andre Smith been for the Bengals? Do they deem that draft pick a success?
It is now. It took 3 years to become a success, but it is now. He had attitude issues. He was lazy. He wanted to get paid. He didn't work out. He didn't eat right. He simply was a me guy. And it took him 3 years to figure it out and be around the guys and become a team guy. He's a happy guy. Doesn't like to talk a whole lot. But now he is coming into his own and becoming the guy that everybody saw at college and taking it to that next level. Yeah, he's a solid right tackle. He's a team guy, and now he's doing the right things the right way all the time.
Looking at the quarterback position again, some familiar names for this part of the country with A.J. McCarron, the guy that they drafted in the fifth round, Matt Scott, who was obviously here with Jacksonville last year. Just through the offseason, how have those two guys looked?
You don't get a ton of snaps and you don't get to see a ton in OTAs. I think it's probably a little bit frustrating for AJ, even though when you ask him the question about backing up, you know, he talks about backing up Greg McElroy all the time and he's used to that. He'll do whatever he can and he's going to be a team guy, and, I think he's injured. I'm not sure his arm is everything that it was 2 years ago, and I'm not sure what the deal is with that, but he looks like he doesn't quite have the arm strength that he did, and I don't know how that will play out or whether or not there's something lingering that I don't know about. But, you know, as far as backups go, AJ's number three right now, and Jason Campbell is number two behind Dalton. And I think they feel that that's the way they're going to go with those three.
Vontaze Burfict, has he earned a new contract, or will they let that play out as well, do you think?
I know they're working on that as well. Contracts are contracts, and they do a lot of talking, and sometimes it comes down to the last minute. I think there's no doubt about what kind of value Vontaze Burfict is coming in undrafted and leading the team in tackles, not the first year, but also the second year. He's stud, and linebacker-wise, he's everything that they need, and I think they know that this has to be a priority. I would assume something's going to get done sooner than later.
And a great payoff. I mean, not a big risk as an undrafted free agent, but at one point this guy was talked about as having first or second round talent. But,
right.
You know, would he keep it all together? He had some off the field issues and just some, I think some, emotional issues maybe if I'm remembering correctly. But I mean, as he seems like from the outside, he's been fantastic on the field. Has he been that model teammate that he seems to be?
Yeah. Guys love him. Guys love him. He doesn't love the media that much, which is fine.
Who does?
We've had a few of those before, but, yeah, he toes the line. And he credits Marvin Lewis for giving him the chance and believing in him and giving him a shot. And teammates love him. He works like a dog and loves to play and, you know, lays his body out all the time. And, yeah, it's nice that, over the last several years, you just really haven't had a whole lot of off-field problems in this locker room, which is what we became used to for more than a decade.
All right, they've done it 3 years in a row. Do the Cincinnati Bengals make it 4 years in a row in the postseason? It's crazy to think that they possibly even could, but they've been there ever since they drafted Dalton and Green. These guys together have taken them to the playoffs. Can they do it again?
Yeah, I think they can. I think schedule, it always comes down to health. And how you deal with a schedule, and this is a very weird schedule that the Bengals play. They got a very early bye week. They've got a long road stretch. They have difficult teams. They're playing a ton of great quarterbacks this year on their schedule, and it all depends on how you start to be able to carry things over when things get difficult, because when you have a stretch where you have no breaks, it's going to be interesting. But I think in this division, knowing these teams, finally everybody in the division like Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cleveland, all respect the Cincinnati Bengals as a team that they're going to have to beat to get into the playoffs. So I would say a team that's gotten better, knows what it's like to do it, has the experience level to do a playoff run, I would say they may be good for four in a row.
Don't forget the two-headed monster, Henny Bortles, coming your way November 2nd, buddy. Okay? I'm not going to let you know which one's going to get the start that week, and you'll have to game plan for both of them. All right?
Looking forward to it.
Brad, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm planning on being at that game, so hopefully we can hook up at least for a few minutes. Appreciate you coming on all these many years, and continued success with everything you do. I know I'm getting old, Brad, as you're, of course, with WKRC. In Cincinnati. My producer had no idea when I started singing the WKRP theme song what I was talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, we are. Where people are looking at us. I'm with you, man. We're looking back at stuff that people go, I have no idea what you're talking
we're
about.
We're mature, Brad, is the way I like to
choose. That's what it is.
All right, brother. Hey, listen, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the next few weeks before the grind is back in full swing.
Thanks, Mike. Guys, take care.
All right, buddy. There he goes. Brad Johansson on Twitter, by the way, at Brad Johansson, spelled just like it sounds. He's the sports director at WKRC Local 12, the CBS Sports affiliate in Cincinnati, and still calls the Bengals preseason games on TV as the play-by-play voice and was the longtime radio play-by-play voice of the team.
They're in an interesting spot with Andy Dalton. I mean, to not sign him to the long-term contract, you've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row. For teams like Jacksonville who know what it's like to be in that quarterback grinder and have to go into the draft saying, look, we need to find a guy to fill that position, they have a guy that may not be, you know, one of the top five or six guys in the league, but he's good enough to keep you in contention every year. is that worth keeping around, or do you go back into the lottery? I don't know.
It's so funny. I think you keep him. I do, because you look at the situation. How many of that ultra elite, we're talking about luck, people around the NFL saying Luck is maybe ready to break into the upper elite. There's been a foursome now for several years.
Sure.
It's tough to crack that group. And it's easy for us to say, because once you've had a level of success and you stagnate, you want the next level. But you could ask the same question about Matt Ryan, couldn't you? I mean, no one's suggesting Matt Ryan shouldn't be part of the long-term future of the Atlanta Falcons. But has he done any more, really? Maybe statistically a little bit, but he's got two outstanding receivers, although he didn't have Julio most of last year. Comparable.
He's won what? One playoff game.
Right. So, I mean, very similar, I think, in situations. And I think if you ask GMs, if you ask a casual fan, most of them would put Matt Ryan significantly ahead of Andy Dalton, but their actual accomplishments are pretty similar right now. I tell you, I think they've got a team right now that has a chance to continue to contend for the next several years, and I don't think you restart that process while you're in the middle of it, unless Dalton goes the other way. If they miss the playoffs, if they go 8-8, and he, you know, throws 17 picks or whatever the number this year. But if he continues, if they get in the playoffs, and like you said, especially if they win a playoff game in advance out of the first round, I mean, really, right now, is it Denver, New England, and everybody else, and certainly Cincinnati, as good a contender to lead the pack of everybody else as anybody right
no
now
doubt.
In the AFC.
No
All right,
doubt.
When we return, mention that A.J. Green is in the top 10 of the NFL Network's top 100 players list. We'll take a look, see if Tony caught the same thing about the top 10 that I did. We'll take a peek at that when we return, as tomorrow we'll wrap up our look at the AFC North. Tony and John Osher will talk with somebody out of Pittsburgh. I don't know who's coming on out of Pittsburgh. It's Jim Colony, Tony. I'm just guessing. It'd probably be, knowing Lauren, she'd probably call Jim Colony and try to get him to come on with you tomorrow to talk Steeler football. So that will wrap up and move on. Do we know what division we're doing next week, Lauren Brooks? Putting you on the spot, huh?
You can put me on the spot, and yes, I do know. I just don't have it in front of me.
Oh, she knows, but she's going to have time to remember. I know this. It's not the AFC South. We'll save those.
It is not.
The good stuff for last. Mike Dempsey, yeah. Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, live at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
See me riding like Bonnie and Clyde, rolling 95, burning down 129, yeah.
All right. Brantley Gilbert, Tony. Bottoms up. Clearly bottom.
We're at the bottom of the ranking.
Yay, Tony!
Is that what it is, 29th?
Well, the fun. Yep, that is correct.
There's your theme.
All right.
Bam. Have y'all ever heard the song?
Nope.
No.
I figured you hadn't, because it's country. It's a good song.
No, I was well-versed in early 90s country.
Oh.
I was. I don't know if you know this, Lauren.
Okay.
I tell my life story over and over again. I worked as like a meat cutter. I wouldn't call it a butcher. A butcher to me actually knew what they were doing, you know,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I worked in the meat department of a grocery store, and the butcher had one rule. Don't change the country music station. And so.
A good rule.
Every day I came in, and we listened to Rooster Country every single
107.3.
At the time, yeah. No longer.
Right, no longer.
Right, but every day. So I was well-versed in the early 90s country music.
But not late 90s.
Not so much.
Okay.
Was that late 90s that we just heard, or is that present day?
No, that's present day.
Brantley
That's 2013 or 14.
Sure he's going to be big, Brantley Gilbert.
This is not his first song, so yeah.
I'm sure he's huge. Maybe he'll get so big that he'll follow me on Twitter.
Maybe.
Oh, my
How about
goodness.
That? You never know.
That's how you know.
If you get followed by Brantley Gilbert before I do and you don't listen to country, I'm going to be
Yo,
curious.
Brantley, how about a follow? Is he from Duval?
No.
No, I'm kidding. Silk the Shocker's from New Orleans. I knew we had determined he was like Master P's younger brother. Somebody tweeting me. That's the only way I learn anything, Tony. Someone tweets directly to me. Information. And so there you have it.
From New Orleans, all right.
Silk the Shocker.
Brantley Gilbert's from Jefferson, Georgia.
I did tweet.
We couldn't clean up any of his music enough to use
No.
I did tweet at Tay Diggs, by the way. I said, thanks for the follow yesterday. Send me your size and we'll send you a Jaguars Today t-shirt. How cool would that be to have a picture of Tay Diggs rocking the Jaguars Today t-shirt? What I think will happen is he'll go, damn, I misclicked on what yesterday?
Yeah.
Unfollow. Done. Story over.
who is this creep?
Right. So,
thanks
oh, sure.
For the follow. I
sure.
want to send you a
I'll
shirt.
Send you my address. Sure. And my, quote, size. Okay.
Sarah P.O. Box.
I didn't think about the whole shirt. Yeah, needing the address thing.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm sure they've got some place where if you, you know, want to write to them, fan
mail.
He's
got an office
mail,
or whatever.
Got,
yeah, I'm sure.
Right. His agent's got an address where he can.
Like we have, 9090 Hogan Road.
Dear Tay. I really enjoy your work in Murder in the First.
That's right.
All right, NFL's top 10 players, Tony. First of all, I don't think it's even a dirty little secret anymore. Is there a player? We got to start asking JAG players about this. Is there a player you've ever heard of that's ever voted in this? Because all I hear are players that say, I've never heard of anyone who actually got asked to vote in the NFL top 100, which is supposed to be conducted by the players, right? It's a poll of players.
Sure.
And they decide who the top players. Do you know anyone that you can recall has ever said, oh, yeah, I voted for this?
I can't remember that, but they always have with these the videos of the players talking about, you know, whoever it is. So I would assume whoever's in those videos is voting.
So somebody's voting you.
Right. Think. I don't know. Look, if you put a sheet of paper in front of the players and say, I guess they're asking them who are the top 15 or 20 would be my guess, and they're just accumulating those numbers and trying to come up with a top 100. But asking them to come up with 20 players off the top of their head, probably for some of them, isn't the easiest thing anyway.
And that's what it's really, they vote for 20. And then it's amazing that when you vote for only 20 guys, that 100 guys even get mentioned. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can only vote for 20 guys, are you going to be like, are you the guy who says, well, I got to have a spot for TJ Ward? And let's see who these other 19 guys are going
right.
to be. You know, how does TJ Ward come in number 82? I'm not saying he's not a very good player. Safety now. Is he with Denver now? He was with Cleveland. I think he went to Denver. Am I right about that?
Yes.
This offseason. I think that Charles Clay is one of the 20 best players in the NFL. Yeah. He's a nice player.
Well, who's voting on the Dolphins?
Right. I mean, is that what it is? Are you not allowed to vote for your teammates? I don't know how the process works, but regardless, the top 10 are all outstanding players. Let me count them down 10 to 1 to you. And then you tell me, there was something as I looked at the list of these players that struck me so clearly, and I want to know if it strikes you. Number 10, Jimmy Graham. Call him the offensive weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Officially now, I suppose, still a tight
pass
end.
Pass catcher for the Saints.
Pass catcher. Lines up within 4 yards of the tackle box on 60% of his snaps.
Yep.
He is James Graham out of the University of Miami. A.J. Green, we just talked about him, Cincinnati Bengals, at number 9. Jamal Charles, Kansas City, at number 8. Richard Sherman, coming in at number 7 for the Seattle Seahawks. Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints. Saints have 2 in the top 10. Their quarterback, of course. LeSean McCoy thinks he's the best running back in the NFL. The players, if they did vote, think he's the second best because AP comes in at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, you all know who he is, at number 3. Calvin Johnson, Megatron, at number 2. And for the first time in this poll, Peyton Manning takes the top spot. Hard to argue, you know, with a 55-touchdown season. Yes, he, once again, didn't come through in the Super Bowl, but no one on his team, particularly maybe outside of Demaryius Thomas, did. Is there anything as a group, when you look at that, do you have it up in front of you? It's easier if you're looking at it, I think.
No, but I'll pull it up.
All right. Is there anything? It's nothing to do about how they look or anything like that, so you don't have to have it. In reading those names, does anything strike you about that?
No Jaguars.
Man, that's me too. I really thought it would be at least 3. Other than that?
They're just being 3 quarterbacks surprises me a little bit.
Okay.
I know they had already announced Aaron Rodgers was 11, but 3 quarterbacks in the top 10 is a little bit surprising to me. I don't know.
What do players say, some players say, you guys don't know the game, right? You guys, it's funny, we laugh when you guys talk about blah, 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 because we know you don't know what you're talking about. Tony, if I were to tell you this was a fantasy football draft.
Oh, sure.
With the exception of Richard Sherman, who's the most notorious player right now in the NFL, and an extremely good one, this is straight out of round one, with the maybe exception of Tom Brady, of some of your local fantasy football leagues. This is all offensive skill guys. You cannot tell me that 9 of the 10 best players in the NFL are offensive skill guys. Is that really the case? And Aaron Rodgers is not even one of them? Really? I mean, are players, if they are voting for this, are they putting any more thought into, well, this guy's scoring a bunch of touchdowns. I mean, is it all that stature? Is J.J. Watt, for instance, who was like the number two player on this list last year, who's now number 12, did he get worse?
No.
Or were his stats not as overwhelming? And so did they say, oh, yeah, how many sacks this year? 22. Oh, he only had this many this year. We'll knock him down outside the top 10 now. Or you know, however, that's how it ended
up.
No,
it is interesting. When you look at that top 10, Sherman's the only non-offensive skill position player. And then when you include the top 20, that's when they all start pouring in. J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn at 12 and 13, Luke Kuechly at 15, Earl Thomas at 17, Joe Thomas at 18, Robert Mathis at 19. I mean, that's when you have a lot of guys in that 20 range
right.
that are those non-skill positions, but the top 10 does basically read like a fantasy draft.
And I'm not arguing with many of those guys. I think Manning, Calvin, Brady, Peterson, McCoy, Breeze. How do you argue with any of those guys?
I think all 10 of those guys, right.
Anyway.
All 10 of those guys are deserving of being mentioned among the elite players in the league. You can make arguments for Aaron Rodgers, maybe J.J. Watt, even a guy like Robert Quinn, who was so dynamic getting after the passer last year. There are arguments to be made for other players in the league, but there's no problem with those 10 being the top 10. It is funny, though, if they tell us that we don't know anything because we're fantasy nerds and that's all we pay attention to. Well, apparently we're not the only one.
Well, it just really struck me on that. And also, did the Browns stuff the ballot box with Josh Gordon and Joe Thomas at 16 and 18, and Joe Hayden came in at 39. Joe Hayden's a very good player. I just wonder, boy, that seems like three Browns in the top 40 players is pretty good for a team that struggles on a perennial basis, or at least seems to. And, you know, you've got Joe Thomas, who's the highest-ranked offensive lineman at 18. I'm looking. I still haven't found the next offensive lineman on here. I'm scrolling down. I'm into the 50s, I think, and I don't think I've found another offensive lineman. Marshall Yanda, the guard for the Ravens, at 55, unless I missed one, is the next offensive lineman. So my point being, is Joe Thomas that much better than every other tackle in the game? Is he that much better than every offensive lineman? Or is it a case of they look at their 20 guys and they're like, oh, I better throw a lineman in there. I'll throw Joe Thomas in. You know what I mean? Like, almost out of obligation, they're going to include one guy from that position group. And it just, my point, these guys that put the eye-popping numbers in the minds of the NFL players, that translates to the best in the National Football League. And it is curious because they will tell you you don't know the nuances of the game. Well, the nuances of the game would indicate maybe a defensive tackle or two is among the 20 best players or the 10 best players
sure.
in the NFL. I just, I don't know. Thought it was interesting. I thought I was reading a fantasy draft there with the exception of Richard Sherman.
And Richard Sherman being there in the top 10, I mean, he's the most notorious guy.
And he's been, and he was the most, I mean, if there was a player on your mind.
He just won a fan vote for the Madden cover.
Right. The Madden cover, all the entire offseason, he was the talk of the offseason, more so than Peyton Manning was.
Yep.
Right? So, he was certainly front of mind in your consciousness. So, anyway, those are the top 10 players as voted on by some subsection of the entirety of the players of the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you when we return. Oh, boy. This Dayton football history coming up. We're live in the Jackson Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010 XL 92.5 FM Heakin Orthopedic local sports update brought to you by the Law Office of Keith D. Collier. The World Cup final is now set and will showcase two of the world's powerhouses and most explosive offenses in Germany and Argentina. Tune in to 1010 XL and 92.5 FM Sunday for our pregame coverage beginning at 2:30. The contest for third place is between the Netherlands and host country Brazil, and you can hear it right here on Saturday starting at 3:30. College football is on the horizon, and next week XL Primetime and the Frank Frangie Show with Rick Ballew will get you ready with live coverage from SEC Media Days. Florida is slated for Monday afternoon with head coach Will Muschamp bringing quarterback Jeff Driscoll, defensive end Dante Fowler, and cornerback Vernon Hargraves III. FSU sophomore receiver Bobo Wilson has been competing for the starting slot position, but was arrested yesterday charged with grand theft auto in the third degree. Any athlete charged with a felony is immediately suspended until the issue has reached a resolution under university policy. We are under a month away from the Jags' first preseason game, and you can purchase single-game tickets now at Jaguars.com for the 2014 season. Everbank Field brings you fantasy football for real with the world's largest video boards, Havana pool parties, and on-field seating. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010 XL 92.5 FM Keegan Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by the Law Office of Keith D. Collier.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Oh, yes. Brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Happy birthday, Storm Johnson. How many years young, Tony?
Let me take a look here. I just saw earlier today that he was celebrating a birthday.
I'm going to guess 22.
Twitter, but he is a young
man. I would guess that too, Warren.
Yeah, because I didn't see anything about 21st birthday on there, and
you
I think
share
we would have noticed that.
Yeah,
we do.
22.
The smart one.
22.
Yep.
Our community brain cell is on point with that one. Other than that, Tony, not a whole hell of a lot happened. Roger Craig, one of the most versatile running backs in NFL history. In fact, to the point where the football search engine lists him as NFL receiver Roger Craig. He caught a hell of a lot of passes coming out of that San Francisco 49er backfield. And was fun to watch. Always ran with those high knees. You know, ran very upright with the high knees.
Yeah.
Kind of guy you would think that would be no fun to tackle whatsoever, because you're just going to take a knee to your
chin. Yeah.
And it's not going to be very pleasant as you go down and try to wrap him up.
He was good in Tecmo Bowl. That I can tell you.
Do you know what happened on this day in the other football in 1999? FUT ball.
Yeah, the ladies won.
Ladies win. Ladies win. America.
Brandi Chastain.
Her champions. Ripped it off. And had she not done that, other than Mia Hamm, I wouldn't be able to name a single person probably off of that team. Brianna Scurry. Man, that came out of... I don't know where
well
that came out of. Is that... That's right, though, right? Brianna
yeah,
Scurry?
She's the keeper.
The keeper.
The keeper.
The keeper. Take it from the soccer player over here, Lauren Brooks. The keeper.
That's awesome.
She's the keeper. Brianna Scurry, Mia Hamm, and... Brandi Chastain. That's all I got for you. You got anything else from the 99 team?
Nope.
I know I'm more of a soccer fan than you. That's why I was able to go three deep.
Oh, okay.
On the USA ladies roster from back then. If Brandi Chastain, how many times has she signed a photo of her in a sports bra, do you think? What else would you have her sign, right, other than the picture of her with her jersey in one hand?
Although there's no other picture you would want to have her sign.
I mean, that's what she's going to be known for. Will that be on her gravestone?
I don't think she's going to put it on her gravestone.
How far into her obituary in the newspaper, if there still are newspapers, sorry, O'Halloran, whenever she shuffles off this mortal coil.
Oh, it'll be in there.
Like 50 years from now, when O'Halloran has bought the Times Union and converted it to fully digital, what are we talking? Third line, best known for member of the 1999 Women's World Cup Championship team, gained notoriety, right? I mean, in that line three, passed away is survived by, you know, six children,
right.
Three cats and a dog.
This is way too morbid.
I'm not being morbid. We're talking to like 60 years in the future. She's going to live a long, fruitful life.
And by the way, you can both get another member of that team. I'll give you her first name. You give me her last name. Ready?
Let's go.
Julie.
Foudy.
There you go.
She's on World Cup coverage.
Correct.
I probably would have got it.
Yeah, you would have.
It would have taken me a minute. Yeah, I might not have. I don't know. It's hard to say. Are you just trying to make Tony feel better now because he's
no.
been exposed as not being the soccer expert?
And there's another one you guys could get, too.
First name, please.
Michelle.
Michelle.
Wee.
Begins with an A. Last name begins with an A. She's very famous.
I almost said somebody I had a crush on in college.
That would also be acceptable.
But
it
I
matches
did.
The same last
she
name.
She wasn't on the team, though.
Really, y'all? This one did not wear a ponytail. Curly hair,
Michelle
never wore a ponytail.
Michelle Kwan.
Akers. Michelle Akers.
Michelle Kwan was.
You don't remember her?
I'm more of a figure skating fan myself.
All right, I got nothing there.
So I went with Michelle Kwan. In looking back, I found a great database to like search by days now, just a couple of days ago, for what happened in NFL history. So truly nothing happened on July 10th that I can discern.
Mm-hmm.
But just in going back over some of the non-date specific, but like year specific kind of things, just reading some of this stuff this morning. In 1892, former Yale All-American guard William Pudge Heffelfinger.
Yeah, old Hef.
Old Heffy. Was paid $500 by the Allegheny Athletic Association as they were taking on the Pittsburgh Athletic Club, and they paid him $500 to be their ringer. He became the first paid football player in America in 1892. What do you think that $500 with inflation is worth today? If what would I have to pay you today to pay you the equivalent?
What year was this?
Of that money, 1892. Because $500 seemed like somebody ripped off the stagecoach to me. I mean, when I heard that figure, somebody, you know, got into the gold box on the stagecoach.
I'll go with $637,000.
Oh, I was gonna say, is he? I hope he's gonna have $1,000 in there. He's gonna go with $637. Not quite the markup. And I would have thought something really high too, but they paid him $12,820.51. That's the 2014 equivalent. By the way, $19.50 in 1892 gets you $500 today. So says the inflation calculator. That I found today. So,
Heffelfinger.
Heffelfinger.
I thought you were going to tell me he invented the pull my finger joke.
Like, that would be awesome. That was joke number two, by the way. They should do a follow up to that
over
commercial.
There.
Look it over there. Mayest thou look. Oh, that is
thus
one of the best.
The trick.
That is one of the best. William Pudge Heffelfinger.
It's even a good name for the guy that would invent that. Like, I thought that you were going to say he got paid by a team to do that to, like, an opposing owner.
He was the first owner to shoot the bird from the owner's box. Hey, bud, you weren't original, okay? And back in that roundabout that time, give me the amount of points you got for a field goal and the amount of points you got for a touchdown.
Field goal was worth 2.
And
a touchdown was worth...
This is good.
A touchdown was worth... 4.
Touchdown was worth 4.
Boom!
Field goal was worth 5.
Oh, my God.
So that's where the foot came in football. Worth 5,
that's
and they
crazy.
Eventually pared
Can
it down.
Can you imagine how much that would change the
By
game
the way,
today?
Heffelfinger, in that game, in which he earned
Heffelfinger.
12,000 inflation-adjusted dollars, Heffelfinger scooped up a fumble and went 35 yards for the lone score in that 4-0 rout.
Should have kicked it.
Of Pittsburgh. Right, should have kicked it. Just should have gone down to the 1 and kicked it, Heffelfinger.
Who needs touchdowns?
Would have
field
been
goal
5
time,
to nothing.
Boys.
Is that, Tony, related to Pudge Heffelfinger?
Pudge Heffelfinger.
Nope. We're distant kin on the nickname side.
We're nickname cousins 10 times removed.
In the 1890s, Pudge.
All right,
is today's
this date in football history has pretty much nothing to do with anything we just discussed, but it is presented daily by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225 for Dr. McCall's office. They're a certified Invisalign provider. They've got the Stop Snoring mouth guards, which are a modern marvel, and they offer a 10% discount for all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. By the way, tentatively, you kind of in your mind, what's the schedule for next week? You got Mark Long early in the week?
Mark Long's coming in on Monday. I have Ryan O'Halloran in on Tuesday. T-Wig is going to join me
T-Wig!
On Wednesday. Brent Martineau on Thursday and John Osher on Friday.
Did Martineau negotiate this to specifically come in when I would be gone, thus avoiding the reunion show with us?
It made the negotiation to get him in here easier, I will say that.
The fact that I wasn't going to be around.
Yes.
I would think so. We're going to have to get him in for a Friday show at some point in August so we could do a throwback Friday
Absolutely.
Top 5. Look forward to that coming up. Todd McShay today, Tony, on ESPN.com put out a story about redshirt rookies for 2014. In other words, rookies last year who, for whatever variety of reasons, didn't have much of an impact on the field, didn't play much due to injury, due
right.
to circumstance, what have you, and guys he expects to break out and have a big impact in 2014. Luke Jokel heads the list there. We'll go through some of the other perhaps forgotten players as well as we continue on. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Pudge Smith, over here.
Oh, Heffelfinger.
Heffelfinger, everyone. We're live in the Jackson Orthopedic Institute studios here. at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Three's a crowd. Four's a party. Five. Well, that's Frangie Ballou, Martin O'Blaylock, and Big Country.
Come join the fun.
Afternoons 3 to 7.
All for one and one for...
1010XL 92.5 FM.
Are we still sticking with the theme, Lauren? We branched out.
Oh, no, we're sticking with the theme.
Oh, no. What do we got here, Tony? I have no idea. I know what the theme is. Oh, Van Halen, Bottoms Up. That's what it is. I had to look.
I was going
to
guess the song was Bottoms Up just because the theme was bottom.
Right. We know what the theme is.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Van Halen, Ask Hacker, what his favorite Van Halen album is. Greatest Hits.
Greatest Hits.
Volume 1, Volume 2. Okay. There. It's fair. A lot of good songs on those Greatest Hits
there
albums.
There are a lot of great songs on the Greatest Hits album.
All right. Foundation Professionals of Florida recognizes Jaguar fans as the foundation of the Jaguar organization. And with that, we're conducting kind of the ultimate fan contest. And the ultimate prize will be a pair of tickets to the home opener, Jags and the Colts, week 3 of the NFL season. All you have to do is submit a picture every week to hopefully become a finalist, and we'll have a drawing right before week 1. This week's theme is Patriotic Jaguars as we still bask in the glow of the Independence Day weekend.
Sure.
And you can, if you go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Jaguars Today, we've got a thread pinned at the top, and you can post a photo right there in that thread, or you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, any of those will do. Tony, you have the, I don't know if it's the enviable task or the unenviable task of being the bad guy or the good guy tomorrow. You get to pick our first finalist.
Yeah, I get to pick. Hopefully we're going to start getting some of these photos that we're getting sent in put up somewhere.
Well, I think we got the corner kind of picked out once we figure out what's in the filing cabinet over here. And so
I'm getting more uncomfortable by the day with the filing cabinet. I'm becoming more and more convinced there's actually
there's
a skeleton
no bad
in there.
Smell coming out of there. So
no,
I don't
it's
think
been there too long.
Decomposing.
Too long.
Just bones.
It's one of the originals.
By now.
Back in there from
95. Over at 1010, by the way, we say people who were formerly with the network, Joe, they go to the attic.
Yep.
Once the attic is well populated over there on Hogan Road these days. So send your picture, whatever it means to you, whether it's you dressed up, you know, in your Jag gear, waving an American flag, whatever that happens to be, Patriotic Jaguars. We're going to do things like Jaguar pets, Jaguar vehicles. You know, if you have your car tricked out in Jaguar motif, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And each week we'll pick a finalist that will go into the drawing for a pair of tickets to the home opener. Foundation Professionals of Florida want you to ask yourself about your biggest investment, your home. If your home's foundation is letting you down, let the engineers and specialists with Foundation Pros of Florida come in. They're your full-service foundation repair company. If you've got exterior or interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors, it may not seem like much. You may think, I can live with this. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get progressively worse over time. Foundation Professionals of Florida, that's what they do. They'll come in, they'll assess your situation, they'll tell you if you need some work done, and they'll get you set up for a brighter future with your biggest investment, and that is your home. 287-2690 is the number, or visit them online at foundationprosfl.com. That's P-R-O-S-F-L, foundationprosfl.com. All right, Tony, Todd McShay.
Yep.
Interesting that... he's doing this because he's really, obviously scouts college players, but he was scouting this group of incoming rookies last year, and he's trying to now extrapolate what they're going to do in year two. We didn't see a lot from these guys in the rookie season. Luke Jokel heads his list, by the way. He says he's a slight stretch for the list in the sense that he started all five games in which he played. So most of these guys haven't even played that much due to whatever series of reasons. But he was the number one prospect in McShay's 2013 rankings. He was his number one overall player. The Jags indicated that if they had the chance, if they had the number one pick, they would have taken Jokel over Eric Fisher, who the Kansas City Chiefs picked, and haven't heard much positive about Eric Fisher after his first year. Mentions his quick feet, good balance, lateral agility as a pass protector, excellent first step quickness. Said that he needed to build up his core strength. I think that's one of the things that the Jags are most excited about, not only with Jokel, but with Mike Brewster. Those guys being hurt, rehabbing together, just kind of made it a competition almost between the two of them. See who could put on the most good weight, good muscle in the offseason.
Look, and there's obviously a lot of excitement surrounding Luke Jokel as a guy who came in as the number two pick last year, looked uncomfortable at times playing right tackle, was finally making that switch over to the left side where he was drafted to play when they traded Eugene Monroe, and then the injury happened. So there's a lot of questions about that offensive line with the Jags and what it's going to look like when everything is said and done and how good it'll be. But there's also a lot of talent there, and especially with a guy like Luke Jokel. This list kind of points it out, and I know we're going to go through some of the other names, including the second one on the list there that we're all very familiar with in Tank Carradine. But we talked about with the top 10 players from the NFL Network coming out today, and you look at it, it's like a fantasy draft right there. I look at a list like this. This is a this is a football nerd type article. I mean, this is deep in it where they're doing an article of breakout second-year players.
Second-year guard, Jonathan Cooper of the
Luke
Arizona Cardinals.
Luke Jokel and Tank Carradine are the top two guys that they list on this article. I mean, this is for hardcore football fans. These kind of articles are the reason I'm glad I steal your ESPN Insider.
You're welcome.
Because otherwise I wouldn't get to read it.
I share my ESPN Insider with you.
That's right.
You're not a thief. If I wanted to, I'm well aware that you use it. I could change the password at any time. Tank Carradine, as you mentioned, for the San Francisco 49ers. What that team has been able to do, when you look at power ranking, Seattle's going to be number one in every power ranking, and they should be.
They won the bowl, man.
Probably Denver will be number two in a lot of power rankings. San Fran's going to be no worse than three in almost everybody's. And
it should be two.
If you voted on the best roster, the most talented roster, man for man in the NFL, I think San Fran might win. And what they've been able to do, because they're in a position where they've got a very high-quality, high-end roster, they've accumulated a lot of draft picks through trading down in the NFL draft and stockpiling, and they've set themselves up to take chances on guys that they know are not going to be able to help them right away. Marcus Lattimore is another example.
Sure.
Here. Now, I wouldn't put Carlos Hyde in that group, but they can spend a relatively high draft pick on a guy that they may think, we probably don't need him for a year with Frank Gore maybe pushing out one more good season in San Francisco. But Tank Carradine comes in, and who knows where had he not gotten hurt, was playing exceptionally well for Florida State, where he would have gone in the draft, might have gone even a little bit higher. But, you know, it's a case of a very talented roster being able to take chances on guys like this and stash them and generally get them at a pretty good value because there's something wrong with them, kind of like the Jags did with Aaron Colvin this year. Although the Jags aren't as talented a roster, they used a little bit of a surplus draft capital and got a guy that they thought would have come off the board a lot sooner. Was he healthy?
Well, it'd be sweet to get to that position if you're the Jags. We've seen the Patriots be able to do this for a decade now, where they seem like they always had the most draft collateral of any team coming into that point in the season, and they would spend it the right way. They would bring in guys that they're either questionable because of character or they're questionable because of injury history, that kind of thing. They bring them in, they turn them around, and 2 years later, these guys are on the field for the Patriots and contributing to that team. And when you find the quarterback and the coach, those kind of things fall in place. San Francisco feels like they found their quarterback based on the fact that they just paid Colin Kaepernick what they did, and they're using the draft collateral that they've had to go get guys that, for other teams, you can't afford to wait on Tank Carradine. You know, you just can't wait on that guy. You can't wait on Marcus Lattimore. You can't draft a running back thinking, look, he's going to be a good backup to Frank Gore, maybe we'll be able to use him in 2 years. Most NFL teams don't work that way. It certainly wouldn't work here. I mean, you can't spend all your draft collateral on guys that you're hoping are going to be good for you in 3 years. That's just not the way the NFL works.
You'd like your roster to get to the point where you can do that. Look at what Seattle did with Christian Michael, right, out of Texas A&M.
Sure.
Raw talent might be the best running back who was in last year's NFL draft. We barely saw him, and chances are we'll barely see him again this year because they'll pound Marshawn Lynch in the final year of his contract, but they'll have a fresh-legged guy that they spent a second-round pick on to sit on for 2 years to come in because they feel like he can have that kind of impact when he steps on the field and just pick up where Lynch leaves off.
And maybe the Jags have a little bit of that feel. The roster isn't at the point where they're drafting guys to wait on them, but it's gotten to the point where they feel like they can draft a quarterback at number three and wait a year. I mean, they are with that. They are drafting
at that position, though. It's such an important position. You're going to make an exception for that.
Sure. They are drafting two guys in the second round, wide receivers coming in at the same time. Not really with they're hoping they contribute in 2014, but rookie wide receivers don't give you much. The idea is they're going to be ready in 2015. And let's see where this team's going to be when it is Bortles and these other guys on the offensive
side. Right, but they're
not
going to be in bubble wrap for 24.
No. They're using them. They're going to use them. Tank, they drafted knowing he's not going to play for us. Marcus Lattimore, they drafted knowing he can't play for us this year. Most teams don't have that luxury.
I can't tell you if Jonathan Cooper's going to have a breakout second year or not. Kevin Minter, however, came out of LSU last year and was considered one of the best interior linebackers. And it was interesting. He hardly played at all. Carlos Dansby had an outstanding year the year before and with Miami. And then they picked him up. He went back to Arizona, wasn't going to be a starter. And then all of a sudden, Darrell Washington got suspended for the umpteenth time. And they thrust Dansby into a role where they felt like maybe he's going to play. Washington will come back. And eventually, Dansby will go to the bench. Minter will, throughout the course of the season, rise up and get himself into the lineup. All of a sudden, Dansby played like arguably the best interior linebacker in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it really just goes to show you, too. We talked about earlier, with this list, you look at second-year guys that once they don't contribute, you almost forget about them, right? And people fall in love with the rookies. In some sense, I think NFL personnel people are the same way. We got Dansby, but the age indicates he shouldn't be that good anymore. And so he almost can't find a home last year. And then when he finally clicks back with Arizona, he has a fantastic year. So Minter, though, with Dansby off to Cleveland and Washington suspended now again for the entire year, it's put up or shut up time for him. That's a pretty talented team. They're talking like they believe they can challenge Seattle and San Francisco in the NFC West.
It's a tough division.
Good luck. Travis Kelce, another guy.
I know you love him.
Well, I mean, fantasy owners, he was kind of a chic mid-round rookie pickup and stash last year, the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go back and look at some of his film. I don't watch a lot of Cincinnati Bearcat football, but if you go back, and I will, however, scout my draft picks in fantasy football. And go back and look at Travis Kelce's highlights. This is a guy they compared to Rob Gronkowski in the impact that he could potentially have in the passing game. He's 6'5", he's 255, moves really well, tough to bring down. We'll see if he has that kind of impact. They also mentioned other guys coming off injury, mentioned Marcus Lattimore. You got to believe, I believe. We're never going to see an impact out of Marcus Lattimore in the National Football League.
There's just too much in that San Francisco backfield, too, with Gore still there, Carlos Hyde, who we mentioned as a draft pick. Look, there's a lot back there for Marcus Lattimore to have to overcome, and the 49ers weren't in a position to wait on him a year, and if they get the guy that we saw 2 years ago in college, then, yeah, he'll find the field, but we don't know if he's ever going to get back to that level.
Is there less buzz for a guy who was as highly regarded at one point during last year's draft prospect run-up than Bjorn Warner has gotten in Indianapolis? I mean, remember at one point Russ Landy had him ranked as his number two player overall.
Yeah.
And really throughout most of the draft, I don't think he ever really dropped him all that much. I want to say the Colts grabbed him in somewhere in the 20s in the first round of the NFL draft. And then barely could get on the field. They were trying to convert him from a defensive end to a 3-4 outside linebacker last year.
Yeah, last year was a clear example of the silly season when it comes to talking draft. With Bjorn Warner, who didn't do much for the Colts last year, Demontre Moore was a guy that was talked about as a top five prospect at one time, went in the third round, for goodness sake.
Yeah, last year might have been the biggest misses, colossal misses with the Barkley-Nassib talk as well at the quarterback
as
position.
As potential top 10 picks. But Deion Jordan is mentioned in this article as well. That's a guy who's now serving a four-game suspension.
We'll wait till week five if we're going to see Deion Jordan.
Thank goodness.
But he
does
look better with that 15 pounds of muscle he packed on.
Can you imagine if right now in Jacksonville we were talking about Deion Jordan missing a month and Johnny Manziel and all his off-field antics? I mean, and that
Manziel's in the bathroom. Rolling up a 20.
I mean, that was a potential
Deion Jordan suspended
scenario.
We've already got Blackman
team.
Suspended.
Right.
By the way, there's speculation. That's the way I took it on PFT this morning, Pro Football Talk, that it was more asking the question, could the Browns cut Josh Gordon before training camp begins? Chris Carter advocated that they cut him, give him some tough love, said it's the only way he's going to clean up. Did you see what Michael Irvin had to say about Chris Carter saying that? basically saying the height of irresponsibility, although he didn't phrase it that way, mm-hmm. said that when he was going through his problems, well-documented drug abuse with the Dallas Cowboys in the early to mid-90s, Chris Carter had already come out of the dark part of the beginning of his career and I guess was talking to Michael Irvin, kind of saying, hey, you need to straighten yourself up. Sure. Michael Irvin said that Chris Carter went to Michael Irvin's wife and said, you need to leave him.
What?
You need to leave. He's never going to clean himself up until you leave him and he realizes that he's lost everything.
So Chris Carter just wants everyone to separate. That's his idea for solutions. He's like, get out of there.
Just cut him loose. It worked for me. They cut me. I want everybody else to get cut.
I heard, you know, we've been hearing the Chris Carter story about what happened with him in Philadelphia for years and how he wound up in Minnesota. I heard a part of it this week that I had not heard before. Now, it's probably been out there. I just hadn't heard this part of it before. He was clean for 6 months. He was off it for 6 months, and that's when Buddy cut him. And I had never heard that part of it, that he had gotten himself straight, that he was walking, he was doing the right things, he was back doing everything correctly.
So why'd he cut him?
And they cut him.
Why? I don't get it.
And he said that the coach told him, we can't trust you. But he said he had been clean for 6 months at the point where he got cut by the Eagles.
Yeah, but you're hearing that from Chris Carter, too.
Right.
Right? So,
that's crazy.
You know, but leave him. Mike Orban's like, I've never told anyone. I've carried this grudge, basically.
Why
would you? Kidding me?
Right.
You told my, what business is it of yours to talk to my wife to begin with? Never
this
mind.
A casino.
And they, yep. By the way, they've been married for 24 years. So.
Unreal.
You know, they're still together. I'm not saying Michael Irvin is some paragon of virtue these days, but, Chris Carter, apparently wasn't welcome.
After years of bad run-ins, we have our first good run-in with him at the Super Bowl, and now we find out.
I know.
Just wants everyone divorced and
I know.
Cut.
What do they tell you? You should judge people on how they treat you.
Yeah.
Chris Carter's a peach, as far as I'm concerned. By the way, the one other guy on Todd McShay's list that I think is interesting to watch from a Jaguar perspective is Bleedy Ray Wilson, mm-hmm. who was a cornerback who was drafted out of UConn last year.
Teammate of Gratz, yeah.
If you remember the run up to the draft when people are guessing, okay, we're going to go offensive line. We kind of knew it was probably going to be Joku or Fisher with that first pick, depending on what Kansas City did. Maybe Deion Jordan or a couple of other guys were in the conversation, but what other positions are they going to address? And Bleedy Ray Wilson got brought up, Tony, as a guy they might draft in the second round. I clearly remember some of that speculation out of UConn. And so the Jags draft a corner out of UConn. And Wilson's available at the time when they took Dwayne Gratz,
right.
Which caught everybody by surprise. But Gratz physically fits the mold more of what you're looking for in that Seattle Seahawks Gus Bradley defense that he's trying to envision here. So, you know, he took something like he did with Alan Bull. That guy may not fit with everybody, but he fits with what we want to do, and he can have success in this system. But Wilson just went a few picks later to the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
So you talk about two guys, being that they played at college, the Jags opt to take one teammate over the other who had been speculated to come here. Just something to keep an eye on, you know, as you watch Dwayne Gratz's progress in 2014.
Yeah, no doubt. And Gratz is one of those guys. He was bigger. And if I recall last year when they drafted him, Caldwell basically said that this is the last guy that we had on our board that we thought could come in and start and contribute for us right away at the corner position. So they didn't feel that way about Bleedy Ray Wilson. Just didn't feel that way about him. So, yeah, he's in the division. We're going to see him for a while probably, these two guys. We'll see how they develop.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. We got the boys, Sam and Charlie, are in visiting from Latitude 30. Shout-out to those guys, although I can just shout across the table to them right here. They're in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios visiting, so that's nice. Everybody wants to come see. Tony, they didn't visit us as much before we worked out of a place with the world's largest scoreboard.
No, they didn't.
People seem to come and visit us a lot more these days.
They do.
Is it, maybe it's me. I don't know. Maybe I've just been,
we're bringing life to downtown.
Doing That's a better job. Doing. It's Tate Diggs is spreading the word about Jaguars today. Clearly, that's what's up. Right. When we come back, by the way, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Asking you today in the power rankings, Pro Football Talk ranked the Jags 29th. Seem right to you based on what they're coming off of? Is it too low for where you expect them to be? too high, I suppose, you could go with. Maybe you thought they were firmly the 30th best team in the National Football League in the preseason power polls. We'll take a look at some of your comments via social media, and somebody is going to walk away, maybe multiple somebodies, with a lovely Jaguars Today t-shirt. Remember to use the hashtag Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, live at Everbank Field on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars.
7 days a week on the new home of the Jaguars. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Start it.
Dummy on the track.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
I actually, they did this on,
I know this is your jam.
This is my jam. They did this on SNL, I believe.
Are you shoulder dancing in there?
A little bit. In my head. Just a little bit.
Only in your head? Come on.
Started from the bottom. Well, not quite the bottom. The Raiders get that title. Starting
well, we
at the bottom.
Started from the bottom.
True.
We were probably there
two years ago. Yeah.
We've climbed four spots, people.
The Chiefs are like, hey, wait a minute. We had the first pick in the draft.
We've done it.
And we made the playoffs last year. So, started at the bottom. Now the whole team here might be more applicable. But the Jags rising rapidly, Tony, up to number 29 in the Pro Football Talk preseason power poll. We asked folks today, the Tom Bush family of dealerships brings you the fan feedback spotlight every single day here on Jaguars Today. And they know that they want to know what drives you as a Jaguar fan. Well, and they want to know today specifically if you think 29 is fair. And if you read the analysis, I'll just say from my standpoint, everything they said was recognizing new administration, new direction. There's some talent that may not be evident to the casual NFL fan in Topeka.
Sure.
That is being added to this roster. That defense could be good to really good if everything clicks on that side of the football. The young playmakers are there to hopefully help Chad Henne get them to a certain point this year and come together and be ready for when Blake Bortles is ready to ascend to the throne, so to speak.
Yeah, they pointed out all the big things that you would hope that they would point out. It wasn't a lot of hate from Pro Football Talk, which I think a lot of Jaguar fans find refreshing.
It's just Florio that they think hates.
Mike didn't write the article, though. So
no, he didn't.
We can't give him credit for that one. But looking at Twitter and some of the responses we got, Mike, from Christoph over there on the island, I'll say it every day, it's higher than I thought it would be. But when you're at the bottom, the only way is up. Hashtag Jaguars Today from Eric. It sounds fair, but it's just the list. Lots of room to improve. Hashtag who cares. Hashtag vote J up. Get it in there. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Let's get up into the all-star game, people. Stevie, Irish Jaguar, saying number 29 is perfect. Right now we're growing, but we've done nothing measurable yet. Hashtag Jaguars Today. And from Jason, he's a believer, Mike. Not happy with the ranking. Every roster has holes, and the Colts, Texans, and Titans are no exception. AFC South champs.
By the way, the Titans were behind you in the power ranking. They were at number 30.
Yes,
so
they were.
At least their holes were recognized. Believe. What else you got? Anything else?
That's it.
That's it? All right. By the way, speaking of the island. The island, Tony refers to as Great Britain.
I do.
Cristiano Bratis.
Oh!
You go with Bratis?
I'll go with, yeah, sure, whatever.
He says we have a growing Jaguars Today contingent in Brazil.
Yeah.
As well.
I told him, I saw the tweet, I responded that he needs to call because we're trying to get a call from each continent.
We've got Australia.
We got Australia.
We've got Europe.
Yep. We've definitely got North America
covered.
We've
got North America.
We got that one. We know we have a South America
Duval
follower, so then all we'd need is Africa and Asia. We can do this.
Yeah. All right, we're big in Asia.
I believe.
We're big in North Africa.
If we got Tay Diggs following you for some unknown reason, we can get an Asian call.
Tell your friends in the Giza Strip or wherever.
Next time one of y'all vacation to Japan, call, I'll count it. That's fine. As long as we're getting the call.
The call comes from there, but we told Cristiano, sent us his address. If you're the first person in a foreign country to request a Jaguars Today t-shirt. We have shipped them to Canada as
well. Yes, we have.
Canada, Australia, Ireland, England, and we'll go with Brazil next.
Did we send the guy one in Australia?
Probably.
No.
Probably not. Sounded good.
It was a great call.
It was a good phone call, though. He didn't leave his address.
I don't think he knew his address at the time.
Man.
He was in hospital.
Yeah, he called from an emergency room. He's just sitting on
it. I think he was in his room. I think he was done.
He was like, hey, just had nothing to do. Wanted to talk to you guys.
He had torn his leg up, right?
In Australia? All right. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. So Cristiano, break us off a call.
I love it.
Either way, just send us your
could have been our
address.
World Cup correspondent, Cristiano.
Well, I think he's. I think we're making him feel better, of course. Now
is this not Ronaldo? We're not talking about
they
Ronaldo.
Continue
no,
to
he's
weep
from Portugal.
In Brazil. Lionel Messi. Oh my goodness, he's going to the Maracana on Sunday.
You say Lionel, I say Lionel. Whatever.
I think you're right, Lauren.
Yeah.
Tony Americanized it.
I did.
That's what he
like
did.
I spelled defense with an S.
all right. On Facebook, got a few responses here as well. Let's take a look at Tony. Chris McGee talking about the 29th rank. He says, I disagree, but not by much. If the players have bought in like everyone thinks they have, I feel the ranking should be mid-20s, 25, 26. So you're really not. You know, you're in that ballpark. And they did acknowledge at the end of the story that this ranking has a chance to climb significantly this year if the young pieces gel and they stay healthy. Richard Rainier, I'm going to go with, Regnier. The important question is, who cares what the outside thinks? This team's improving and can easily finish in the middle of the pack or better with a couple of breaks going their way versus the other team's way. They could have easily won 6 of the final 8, given a break in the right direction, given apparent roster improvement, they can only get better. I agree with, we put that out all the time. It's the beauty of the professional ranks.
Sure.
This is something fun to talk about in the second week of July, July 10th. But unlike SEC Media Days, where the polls they take are precursors to the rankings, which actually have an impact on who will make it into the championship, it's a meritocracy in the National Football League.
Yeah, at least who's going to make it into the playoffs at that point. It doesn't really have that much of an impact on standings in the SEC in the end, generally speaking, but... Yeah, I mean, look, power rankings don't matter. By the way, we're 2 weeks today from the players reporting for the Jags. They're on the practice field 2 weeks from tomorrow for their first training camp practice. I mean, it is here. We are about done with the offseason here in Jacksonville.
I made my official, I don't know if it's really the last, but I made my official last tee time of the summer for 2 weeks from this past Tuesday. So 12 days from now. I'm coming back. I got golf on my mind. I'm coming back. I'll actually be back in town like late on the 20th. By the way, 15 mercenaries, heavily armed, that you know of. There may be more. Will be camped out at Casa Dempsey.
I thought I was about to get threatened.
Okay. And they've got, just much like Red Dawn, okay, you will think you can run through my backyard until those little pop-up turrets come up out of the grass. And they gun you down, all right? No questions asked. Don't invade my domicile. So that's taken care of. Thank you very much. But I'll be back on the 20th, back to work on the 22nd, Tony, and then I'll just be counting the 2 short hours until I'm out of the golf course that afternoon. But after that, brother, it's like full on. We're in training camp mode.
No doubt.
And we're looking forward to it. I would like to thank the Jaguars, actually, for accommodating us with the early training camp start times, which is great.
Sure.
Because we can double up on work during the same time period.
Yep.
Which is always appreciated as well. This last one here from Luis Osorio. I think it's just right, speaking of the 29th ranking. We had a bad year last year, and we've made some improvements in the offseason, but we've yet to see them on the field. We're going to be counting on rookies to play major roles as well. Hashtag go Jags. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag bright future. He's angling for a bright future scholarship.
Yep.
I think Lewis is.
And that's how you get
Luis,
it now.
Luis Osorio.
For him or his kid, one or the other.
That's how you do it now? What, by posting
Absolutely.
On our Facebook page?
Social media, that's the way to get bright future.
We got Tay Diggs.
If you post on our Facebook page, Tony will endow your college
Stop
fund
this.
By 50 cents. All right.
Because he's related to Pudge.
One, too much.
One
Can't afford 50
one
cents.
One random poster will win 50 cents towards their child's education. Don't forget, yes, Foundation Pros of Florida, last day to send in your patriotic Jaguar pictures. Tony will announce the winner tomorrow, and they'll go into a drawing for tickets to the season opener, the home opener here with the Jags and the Colts squaring off, and we'll have a new theme next week. Tony will. And I will follow it. I'll follow it daily, maybe hourly on Facebook while I'm on vacation. as far as that goes. And we'll be doing shows.
Won't you be driving?
I've just been handed this. I'm kidding, Lauren. I won't follow a thing on Facebook. I've been handed this note, Tony. This just in.
Oh.
We will officially. This is just in. We'll officially be doing shows right there from training camp.
Sweet.
Outside sweating with the peeps during training camp. So
come say hello.
I'll be there for the first day.
Lauren Brooks will be there for the first day, which will be, coincidentally enough,
Her birthday.
Bring Lauren a present.
Don't bring me a present.
No, bring Lauren a present, and you will go on a drawing for a Jaguars Today t-shirt.
Oh,
Lauren,
no.
I'm going to hook you up, Lauren. You're going to get hooked up.
Bring the t-shirts to pass out.
Lauren is registered at Tiffany's.
She likes ribs.
And she loves some ribs.
God, Mike decided to go on vacation the week of my birthday, so I have to work harder.
Is it your birthday next week?
Next Friday is my birthday. Yes.
I knew that.
Yes, the 18th.
You'll be...
Dun, dun, dun.
You'll be 31.
Yes, I will.
Ah, see? I'm good like that.
Yes, woo! I will.
I've got You're that. 31. I'm turning 23. It's all the same.
did you see I'm turning 23?
It did take me a second.
I announced 23 for you yesterday, Lauren. Do not spoil the illusion for anyone out there.
The wrinkles spoil the illusion.
In the continent of Duval, all right? There are no wrinkles on Lauren Brooks.
Enjoy the vacay, brother.
You know it, okay?
We'll be listening tonight.
Although Jaguars Thursday, greatest edition ever, is the rumor. As I host with Jeff Loggeman tonight from 6 to 7 right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, in for J.P. Shadrick. Tony Baselli's got the night off, so spend your 6 o'clock afternoon, evening hour with us here on Jaguars Thursday as well. How many times will I call it Jaguars Today on Jaguars Thursday?
One and a half.
But I think that's definitely a drinking game.
That's a good one, because I'm figuring I'll at least slip up once, but will I do it
twice? I think
you'll
start once. You'll go Jaguars to
Thursday. Oh, I get it.
It's gonna happen one time.
Yeah, probably so.
Today.
All right. Thanks to Brad Johansson, former voice of the Bengals, now with WKRC in Cincinnati, for joining us to talk about the Bengals football prospects.
Yep.
And I believe Tony has Terry Bradshaw coming on tomorrow to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Terry. Franco Harris.
And his relationship with Chuck Knoll.
And John Stallworth, because we thought we'd be different, because Lynn Swann's always the guy we see at Radio Row.
Yeah.
So it'll be Stallworth this time. All right. We've got XL Primetime coming up next. Thanks again to Brad Johansson, for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony. And once again, thanks to the boys from Latitude 30 for stopping in to visit today. Appreciate all the sponsors. Have a great next 10 days or so. I'll talk to you this afternoon on Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.